My inclination was that it was a tradition born out of an American context. And indeed, my initial research reveals that it's much a bigger thing in America than it is in the UK. However, as I began to read a little bit more deeply and a little bit more widely, I discovered that Blue Christmas is celebrated throughout the Western Church, throughout the US and Europe and in the UK and across many, many traditions. Blue Christmas is usually celebrated on the 21st of December, the longest night of the year. And what makes Blue Christmas special is it's deliberately aimed at the darkest time of the year, and in the midst of the service, there is space given for pause, for people to grieve, to mourn the loss of a loved one, be that through death or the breakup of a relationship. There's time given to admit in all the hustle and bustle that we do about in a Western context Christmas, there is some space for some sadness. But the aim of the service is not to focus on the sadness. It's not to provide just a moment to grieve and to be sorrowful in a time that is so often aimed at being happy. It's also an opportunity to bring assurance and hope, assurance that the God who sees us knows what we're going through, and hope that in even the darkest of times, God will come to us. And for members of this church, as we have been in the run-up to Christmas, as in the last 10 or 14 days, perhaps a little bit longer, we've had to say goodbye to not only Stan, but Olive as well. Speaking about a light that steps into the darkness seems really appropriate for the here and now. But not just for us individually and personally, although that is very true, the reminder that God knows us, knows what it's like to be human, and steps into our world, stepped into the midst of the darkness of time, is a powerful message. In the context of those who are living on our streets, in the context of those who have traveled to us from a country as refugees, escaping war and persecution, the assurance that there is a God and he knows what it is like, and that he comes to us in the time when we need him most, is a powerful message. It's good news. It's life-changing news. Which is why when I turned to the lectionary and looked up the passage for today, and I discovered it was John 1, 1 to 14, I had to smile to myself. And even though I don't have the time to unpack the complexity of John 1, 1 to 14, the two things that struck me with real poignancy for today is the first is that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or doesn't understand it. Either translation would be correct. The second is that God comes to us as flesh and blood, as a human being. And whatever struggles we're facing, whether that is caring for family, trying to pay our bills, trying to feed a family, coping with the loss of a loved one, be that recent or many years ago, the idea of celebrating light coming into the darkness, to drive out the darkness, and to do it at a time where it is the darkest time of the year is significant. So much so that the declaring of light in the darkness precedes the idea of the coming of Jesus. The idea of light in the darkness and celebrating light in the darkness goes back to pagan times. There's something defiant about a light in a dark place. Something that says you will not overcome. There's something powerful that says at the darkest of times, I will celebrate the fact that God has come to us in Jesus as light of the world. And this is what we find in the opening of John's gospel, because John speaks of the coming of light, but he comes of speaking of it in a different way. He comes and speaks of that light coming physically, an embodiment of light. Light brought to us by a human being. You know, we speak sometimes of how someone with real personality walks into a room and they light up a room. When God comes, he lights up the world. And why it's significant when John says, the Word becomes flesh and has made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When John begins speaking, he uses the term Word. And he does so deliberately, because he wants to ground what he's going to say, the good news that he's going to offer. He wants to ground it in the beginning of all time. He wants to root it in the God who comes at the formation of creation. He wants to draw on the Genesis tradition. The God who speaks, and it is. The God who spoke, and night and day were separated. The God who spoke and the waters receded and land became visible. The God who spoke and creation in all its diversity emerged. And not only does John pick up on the Genesis tradition, he also points to the power of that word. The psalmist picks this up in Psalm 46:6. The nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. Amos picks it up again in Amos 9:5. The Lord the Almighty, he touches the earth and it melts. As John opens his gospel with a single word, he encapsulates all the power and the majesty and the glory of God. And he speaks of one who brings it into existence and then steps into it and becomes human and lives amongst us. And because of that, God knows all about the darkness we face. He's experienced it as a human being. He knows what it is to weep at the grave of a friend. He knows what it is to live in a land where taxes are high. He knows what it is to escape a foreign land to avoid death. He knows what it is to live in a land overrun by a foreign nation. And if for no other reason, the fact that God has come to us as a human being and so experienced firsthand what it is to live in the darkness of a world today, whether we feel like celebrating or not, we certainly have something to celebrate. Because even if we feel overwhelmed by the troubles of the world around us, one thing we can be sure is that God knows not only the dark place that we live in, but he has experienced that dark place. From a human perspective, he has experienced it, and he's able to speak into that place with truth and grace. He will speak out against injustice brought about by when religion becomes a set of laws to live by and ceases to become a worship and adoration of God. Jesus will come and speak out into the lies that corrupt a view of life. He will speak truth about death and its and the consequences of sin. He will, and when truth has that hard edge to it, that ooh moment, he comes to bring grace, that undeserved, unearned favor of God. God brings us a blessing when we deserve it the least. And not just a teaspoon of blessing. A blessing in abundance, like a pot filled up and overflowing. When God comes to us in Jesus, he comes as a human being. He comes into our troubled lives. He comes to speak truth, and he comes to bring grace. And because of that, we can celebrate. And so I'm left wondering, where is it that we need to allow God to come to? Where do we need him to allow to shine his light into our lives? Where is it we need him to bring comfort of the one who knows what we are facing and is willing to stand with us and stay with us, walking with us and helping us navigate the situation? I wonder where we can let God in this morning. I wonder where we can let the light shine in the darkness. And I wonder if we do so, whether we might find all we need to celebrate that God has come to us in flesh and blood, has come to us in Jesus. I wonder if we'll let him in this morning. Amen.